Well, good morning. I just want to note, between first service and second service, there's just been a sweet spirit about this morning. From what we just sang, it's just God's presence. It's just been heavy this morning. I'm just grateful to be a part of a church family that worships God through song and the teaching of the word and generosity. And I'm excited for this morning. We actually, first service, we got to celebrate and hear a story of life transformation and got to baptize. Her name was Amanda Geisler. And next week, we have four or five baptisms happening to hear about the work that Jesus continues to do in the hearts of people. And I'm just so blessed. I'm so blessed to be a part of his family. And we get to be a part of a family together here at UB. And just grateful for that. But also, we have a special Sunday as well today. As you have seen when you walked in last year, we actually kicked off a partnership with partners at World Vision, and we are continuing that partnership this year. And what was that? I wasn't here last year at that time, but we kicked off a partnership and really flipping the script on partnering with World Vision, really for a first-of-its-kind sponsorship, where instead of us choosing a kiddo and kiddos waiting across the world, we put that choice in the kids' hands to choose us, to be chosen by them. Maybe the first choice that they have had in their life for us to partner with World Vision and the gospel work they're doing in Zambia. And we're continuing that partnership this year, and we'll speak more to that. But I want to provide for you just a recap of last year's kickoff for us, just to understand the heartbeat of what we partnered in last year, and I'll speak to it more today. So let's watch.
Well, what you're going to find is when you enter into this relationship with a child, you're going to change the trajectory of their life. You're going to change their life. But here's the real truth, is they're going to change you even more than you change them. Because you're going to be impacted. Your life is going to be changed as you learn to enter into what God is doing.
That's a beautiful recap of what we got to participate in last year in the kickoff of a partnership with World vision. You see, we as a Grace Community Church at large ended up being chosen by 580 kiddos in a area of Zambia called Moyo. And we were able to sponsor all the kiddos in that area and to be a part of the restoration of what God wants to do. And here at UB, we were chosen by over 93 kiddos chose us, and to be a part of the restoration through what God wants to continue to do. And I think that's beautiful. I think that is beautiful. And God's not done at work there. So we as a church family aren't done at work there either. And so I'll speak more about that later today. But I am going to teach and briefly share from John 4 today, really from this perspective of what God does when he chooses someone, and how when he chooses us and when he chooses someone, in this moment, radical change, it transforms our world. In this case, it's going to transform her world and the area in which she lives. And it's going to be from John 4, and it's a story we're all familiar with, Jesus and the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. I have 18 minutes to teach through this in an interaction that's one of my favorite interactions throughout all of Scripture, because there's so much depth, there's so much flipping of the tables and flipping of the narrative within the Scripture. But I believe this today is something that's going to also assist with us understanding what we get to participate in the Chosen Project with World Vision. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John 4 with me. We're going to read the first 6 verses. I'll summarize a little bit more and read some from there. But here is what I want to read, verses 1 through 6 to begin. It says this: "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria." I want us to key into that verse. "And he had to pass through Samaria." It says, "So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour." I want to stop there. And one of the things I want to highlight for us in this passage and is this, and it's the first point I want to make, is she was chosen with intention. This woman of Samaria was chosen with intention. How can I say that when she hasn't even arrived on the scene yet? Well, it's because Jesus intentioned to meet her. Jesus intentioned how he went about things, the place and time to meet her with purpose. And I'll explain. You see, in verse 4, like I mentioned for us to key on, it said, "And he had to pass through Samaria." Let me give us a bit of a geography lesson of this time and space that we find ourselves in. So Jesus was doing ministry in Judea, and which was in the extreme southern part of his world at the time. And he had to go to Galilee, which was the extreme northern part. And so to go to Galilee, it was about a 3-day journey, 120 miles. But to go from Judea to Galilee, right in the between was an area called Samaria. And they were filled with people called the Samaritans. Surprising, right? But here's what happened, is oftentimes because the Jewish people had such bitter hatred for the Samaritans, what would happen is the Jewish people would go just east, up around Samaria, never going through Samaria, because they had such hatred and disinterest with the Samaritan people. So what would tend to be a 3-day journey through, the Jewish people would go around and make it a 6-day journey because they had such bitter divide with this people. But not Jesus. It says he had to pass through. He was avoiding the Pharisees in some ways, but it also, if you look at the context, it was an active pull to go through because he knew what was to await and who was awaiting. You see, during this time when he was positioning himself here, this Samaritan woman approaches and Jesus begins a conversation with her. If you know anything about the custom of the time, Jewish men, specifically Jewish rabbis, would not speak to women in public whatsoever. They wouldn't even speak to their daughters or their wives. Yet Jesus the ultimate breaker down of barriers, puts all that to rest, and he chooses her to have this conversation with, and he does it with intention. He was coming here with intention. And this is a radical interaction of attention that flipped the power structures, like I said before, on its head. Because if you know anything about this interaction as it goes, this woman, if you look at Scripture, tends to become the first missionary. This woman in Scripture tends to become the first missionary, which is insane in that time and space. You see, we intention our time every single day, do we not? You intentioned your time to make space to be here this morning. You got up, and if you have any kiddos, you know, wrangling them to get them here on a Sunday morning is quite a feat, so congratulations. If you don't, you made it here yourself, but you intentioned your time to be here. We intention our money, to steward our money. Some of us, we buy the things we need, pay the bills that we have to, get food that we want, go on vacation. We intention our money specifically for certain reasons and the resources God gives us. We make intention and position ourselves just like Jesus did in this interaction. Jesus intentioned himself to be here at this exact point in time with this woman in this exact place, who the Jewish people would have never interacted with whatsoever. They would have let their customs dictate their interaction. They would have let their hatred dictate this exchange. They would have let their righteousness act and go away from this place, but Jesus didn't. And he chose her with intention. And what did that intention begin to produce? Radical intention and love is the beginning of gospel transformation in this woman's life, because she was chosen with intention. And then it goes on to say in verses 7 through 15, if you're familiar with the passage, Jesus has this conversation with this woman, and he asks for a drink of water. And then this conversation between the Jew and Samaritan, all that bitterness comes out in the questioning. And what Jesus is saying, hey, is I can give you living water, so you will never thirst again. And the woman's like, give me that water. What she thinks is that she will be physically not thirsty anymore. When Jesus was saying, when I give you myself, you will never be thirsty at a soul level again. And that's what Jesus speaks in verses 7 through 15. But I want to pick up in verse 16 through 26, and we'll read it together. And it frames the second point that I want to bring out. It says this. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five. And the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, calling out her male, right? Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now I can go into so much with just these verses right here, but I want to pull out something from this that I think relates to being chosen, that we need to all hear about her. She was chosen because she had inherent dignity and worth. She was chosen because she had inherent dignity and worth. And I'll explain more about that in a second. What do I mean when I say she was chosen because she had inherent dignity and worth? I want to share with you a gentleman that I had met back in 2008. That seems like crazy long ago. It is crazy long ago, 15 years ago. I'm from Northeast America, a.k.a. upstate New York, a.k.a. Syracuse, New York, and not that many of you know where that is. But in 2008, my father-in-law and I were a part of a ministry that delivered meals to the homeless of our city in Syracuse. Similar to your under the bridge ministry things happening here in Tyler, but we had been delivering meals and had gone every single Saturday, just developing relationship, handing a meal out to someone, sharing the gospel, and just meeting people. And one day we met this gentleman by the name of Lou who was out in the streets. And he was out on the streets part-time, but part-time he went to live with this other gentleman, and his name was Ken. And one time Lou brought, when we met him out in the street, said, "Hey, I want you to go meet this person, Ken." So we busted into Ken's apartment one time while out in the streets. And it was in this interaction with Ken that my understanding, and I was deeply impacted from this relationship. You see, Ken lived in this, what should have been condemned apartment housing complex. And if you had met Ken at the time, he was mid-60s. He talked like Eeyore. Remember, woe is me. He talked like that. But he was giving his life to really alcoholism. And I remember there, he was drinking a lot anytime we came over. He was rolling his cigarettes himself. And really, this man had a loss of hope, a loss of dignity. But over a period of 12 years of us meeting Ken, sharing the gospel with him, taking my father-in-law, taking him to doctor's appointments, getting him socks for Christmas, we would get a deeper relationship with him over these number of years. He would find out when my wife's birthday was and my daughter when she was born, and she would send them a dozen roses on each of their birthdays. He didn't have money to put together for that, but he did it. And that's the relationship that was struck up during this time. And we got to love him where he was. We got to love him with where he was at. And I remember after that period of time, he passed away a few years ago. But before he passed, I remember this moment where he called me up. I'm probably going to cry right now, but that's okay. Here we go. He said this. He said, "Mike, you and Dom," who's my father-in-law, he said, "you love me. Not for what I did, but for who I was, and God knew I needed that. You love me not for what I did, not for the alcoholism, not for the outward displays of what I was, but you loved me for who I was, and God knew I needed that. You chose to do that when you didn't have to." You see, what Ken was saying is you saw inherent worth and dignity in me for who God made me instead of the things that I did. Instead of the place I found myself in, instead of the context in which I was in, you loved me and you chose to do that. You see, the reason why I share that is that we can tend to gloss over, when we read John 4, the radical transformative moment when Jesus extends himself to this woman who is hungry, who is thirsty, who is weighed down by the shame of her five husbands, who has gotten a name for herself based on what she has done, really is hurting and viewing herself as the least and lost in the world. But what does Jesus do? He chooses to sit with her. He chooses to invite her to worship him in spirit and in truth. He chooses to reveal his very self to her, and in so doing, look past what she has done and calls out her true worth in the image in which she bears, which is God. She's made in the image of God. She was chosen because she has inherent dignity and worth, not based on what she has done, but based on who she images. You see, she was chosen with intention by Jesus. She was chosen because she had inherent dignity and worth. And I could go into so much more within this text. And one of my favorite scenes of the Chosen series is just this interaction. If I could encourage you to watch that, see the beauty of this interaction. But why do I share these two points? And how do they tie in today? One, because all of us in this room who know Jesus have been chosen by him. There was no good in us. But God in his sovereign plan intentioned us to know him by sending Jesus and to call out the inherent worth and dignity of us even when we didn't deserve it. Based on our sin and our brokenness, he extended his infinite best to us to give up his life in Jesus, pay our penalty of sin, and radically reverse our lives of which we didn't deserve. And secondly, it's this. I share these because I want to invite us into action to radically reverse the kingdom of God. We have the chance to do that today with the resources God has given us in our partnership, really, with World Vision. Above and beyond what we give to the local church, we can put our resources where we are blessed here in America. Even the lowest are richer than in some of these countries. We are blessed here where we can put our resources into the game and to play, to be a part of the restoration of the broken circumstances that people find themselves in by no choosing of their own, that we may not otherwise be able to extend ourselves. You see, my family and I weren't here last year when we had launched our partnership as Grace Community Church with World Vision. You see, I had sponsored children in the past and had gotten the letters and had a relationship, which was good. But when I heard about how we as a Grace Community University Boulevard family sponsored almost 100 kiddos to choose us, I was like, what is God doing with this partnership? So I needed to understand, why World Vision and why Zambia? And what I learned about Zambia really opened my heart to be excited for this partnership. Because if you know about Zambia, children and people in general live on mainly $3 a day, if that. And the kiddos don't go to school and often work to just support their families in getting water or farming. Their nutrition is uninformed, really unavailable, and they suffer the consequences of that. Mothers oftentimes don't have the equipping for nutrition, so a large part of their kiddos don't make it past age 5. Fathers in Zambia, in some circumstances, aren't even present because they're going from partner to partner, and their children are viewed as a means to an end, either to work if they're a boy or for girls to be sold off for money and possessions. That is their reality. And that's where World Vision I saw came in. You see, with Jesus and the gospel at the forefront of what they do, they empower not only the child, but the villages that we adopt through education, equipping on how to farm, nutritional support, prenatal counseling for moms. They work with fathers to know who Jesus is and how to disciple their families and parent their families in this context. And they provide clean water to these villages so their kids don't have to choose between getting an education and seeing dignity and honor through that, or choosing to work. That's what World Vision does, and they set these villages and areas on a plane, on a path to self-sustaining, which is beautiful. You see, those 90 that began partnering last year here at UB and another 100, 450 plus were able to care for an area called Moyo, which I mentioned earlier, where this is happening. And myself and Lillian High, one of our college leaders here, after service today, we are traveling to Houston to go and visit the kiddos that have chosen us. And I get to be a part of a video like that and meeting these kids on the ground that you put your resources in the middle and said, hey, I want to be a part of being chosen and seeing the work that God is doing through World Vision. And we get to be a part of that. So why is it that we are continuing this partnership? Because God's not done in Zambia, neither are we. Because God's not done in Zambia, neither is our partnership here with World Vision. You see, this partnership is a $39 a month commitment. And it's money. It's, for some people, that's a lot of money. And I get it. Yesterday, I went out to McAllister's with my daughter and myself and my wife before we go. And even though the kids' meal is 99 cents, I still spent $28. Almost a full month of support for kiddos in an area to be chosen by. But there's a real cost to that, and we understand that. But we are not done because God's not done in Zambia. But with this chosen partnership, we are providing the opportunities, not kiddos, not to wait to be chosen, because some may never be chosen based on who shows up. But for these kids, it might be the first choice they get to make in their lives, because choice doesn't exist. We get to intentionally give them the opportunity to choose us all at a party like you saw, while speaking the gospel of hope and affirming their inherent worth, dignity, and value as image bearers of God in helping them transform their futures. That's what we get to partner with. You see, Jesus chose this woman of Samaria intentionally. He chose to intention his time, his reputation, to meet her in this space where she was at. And in so doing, she was chosen because of her inherent dignity and worth as image bearer of God. And he stepped into her world and transformed it. You see, we have that opportunity today to partner with a child, a family, a community, to be chosen by them because we intentionally position our resources to invest into what God is doing in Zambia. To choose to extend the gospel of hope through our partnership with World Vision, we get that opportunity. And here's what I want to do. My heart is not to guilt us into anything. My heart is for us always to be faithful. For the Spirit of God to stir up a heart of generosity within us that is not guilt-driven, but by the Spirit of God, we want to worship through our generosity and our partnership. And so here's what I want to do. I will explain and share a video after we sing, but I want us to sing. I want us to sing how great our God is. And when we sing, I want us to keep in mind how God has chosen us. How we didn't deserve to be intentioned for Jesus to be sent, but God intentioned it because he loved us to send that which was most important, to pay for the penalty of our sin. And as we submit to his lordship of our lives, we find our inherent dignity and worth as human beings. And we didn't deserve that at all. But he loved us enough to do that. And when we sing, I want that to reign over our hearts and as we sing today. And I'll come up and share how we can intentionally position our resources to partner with World Vision today. So I'm going to pray, and the worship team will come out and we'll stand. God, we thank you. We thank you that you first chose us. That you didn't let our brokenness and our choosing of sin be the final say in the story. But you loved us so much that you sent your Son to walk among us, to even have this interaction, to intention this interaction to happen with purpose and meaning. And you chose this woman because she had inherent worth and dignity because of who she imaged, and that's you. And you provided living water for her to go and share past what she thought she was to know who she truly was in you. And we get to live in that story today if we are in Christ. God, thank you for choosing us when we were so far off. Thank you for loving us when we didn't deserve it. Thank you for coming near and showing us your glory, showing us your goodness as a people. And God, thank you for capturing our hearts back and redeeming us from death and brokenness into your marvelous light. Thank you for who you are and what you have done in Christ. We praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let's stand and respond.